Welcome to the Campbell Conversations. My guest today is the musician and peace activist Joanne Shenandoah. A member of the Wolf Clan of the Oneida Nation, Joanne's music has won numerous awards, including a Grammy in 2006, for her work on the album Sacred Ground. In 2014, she served as co-chair of the U.S. Attorney General's Task Force on Native and Alaska Native Children Exposed to Violence. Joanne, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
Let me start by asking you to tell me a bit about the level of the problem of violence for American Indian and Alaskan Native children.
Well, not only is there a very intense statistic, about 69% of our children are exposed to violence. A lot of that, of course, has to do with historic trauma and also the boarding school situation. So we understand that violence is a learned behavior. And the also another very important part of this is that our children in America, no matter what race or religion or culture they are 60% exposed to violence. So when you think about it in those terms, we understand that children suffer toxic stress even when they are in another room and hear violence. So we've got it on TV, we've got it on the video games, and we have it everywhere. And so now, you know, it's a really important thing that what we've done here is we've prepared a 286-page report with a 24 task force membership. And I was co-chair along with Senator Dorgan because I used to do, or I still do, workshops on the healing vibration of our voice. And music, how it affects us, because our bodies are 77% water. And if you've ever seen a study by Dr. Emoto, you'll see that every vibration, every word we say, all the things that we expose our body to as far as sound is concerned affects us deeply. So he did these experiments where he played beautiful music to them, and he froze it, and the next day they were glorious crystals. And then he also tried heavy metal music and very difficult words and evil words, and that experiment turned out where those they came out as shards or very, very harsh-looking water. So our Earth is also very connected to us. She gives us everything we need to survive, our Mother Earth. And she's also 77% water. So there's no coincidence that as an Iroquois woman, I've been blessed to be able to use that culture as part of a healing force when it comes to music.
Now, this next question is a bit delicate, but we've talked before, and I understand that you're comfortable with me asking it. But one obvious question then, given that you're on this task force and you're so concerned about this problem, is whether you have any personal experience with violence that informs your understanding of this problem and what to do about it.
Yes, I certainly do. As many natives have experienced violence, I think what we've come to understand is that we have to consider that almost everyone has been exposed to some sort of violence. Everyone. So we're not exempt. And it's not like a problem just with Native people, but it's a problem everywhere. And we see it in the cities, we see it in the urban areas, and we see it, you know, in the homes. And so for me, this is something that's very close to my heart. I was very honored to be asked to do this.
And you've also spoken about this broader effort to promote what you call universal peace. Can you tell me a little bit about how tackling violence at this very personal level, you know, children in the family and children in society, their personal experience, how that connects with this broader idea of universal peace?
Something that's very powerful and important of being an Iroquois woman and also an Iroquois person is that I was always taught from a young age that we use our stories of the Hiawatha and the peacemaker, how he learned a whole new way of life. And so this is something that it was a prophecy that said someone will hear about all this all over the world. They should hear about this message of peace, which we're right here on the shores of Onondaga Lake. When the peacemaker came, Hiawatha had his entire family murdered by an evil chief named Tadadaho. Now, if he didn't learn forgiveness through the wampum, which is the purple and the white, and that's those are our colors, and you'll see them in all our treaty belts, this means this is our purest form of truth. So the white represents truth and purity. The purple represents bruising or pain because we've all felt it. We all have experienced death, for example, in our lives. Everyone has experienced that. So these particular stories actually are amazing. And, you know, while I'm saying it in a very short time period right here, I have a chance through my music and through songs to share this around the world. And so that's what makes it so exciting, because I know it's a prophecy. I know that people will hear about this message of peace and how we can live without war.
I want to come back to that question about how it's integrated into your music. I'm Grant Reher, and I'm speaking with Joanne Shenandoah, the Oneida Nation singer and songwriter. On that point, you have been using your music to communicate about this. Did you go through some kind of life or career turning point in moving more to use your music and your notoriety for these causes that are important to you? Was there a moment where you really kind of the switch came on, or has this been more consistent through your life?
The message of peace has always been consistent for me, and I've always had such an amazing opportunity to meet some of the finest musicians ever. I'm going to be singing at Pete Seeger's concert coming up soon on the Hudson, and, you know, he was also instrumental. There were a lot of musicians who clung on to the fact that I totally loved my music. My native name is Digaliwakwa, which means she sings, and I was named that as a little girl, but when I went away to school and then worked in Washington, D.C. for 14 years, I was offered a lot of money to do a minority-owned woman firm in the systems integration business. And I used to teach Unix and C programming. And then one day a tree was being cut down outside my window office, and it uprooted me. And I thought, okay, that means I need to do something about the earth, about peace, about the fact that I've been given this creator-given gift. So that was a turning point for me. And so since 1990, I've been performing full-time.
You spoke to this earlier, but I did want to ask you specifically your message about violence and peace. Can you tell me a little bit more about how that connects with the core values and traditions of your nation, of the Iroquois and of the Oneida?
Well, a lot of it has to do, of course, with the idea that Hiawatha actually came singing a song and forgave Tadadaho for that evil act that he did. Now, I'm not sure how many people out there could actually let go. Sometimes people hold on to grudges for generations. And so I've been told by healers around the world that this particular idea of not being able to forgive or to move beyond and be more open-minded with a good mind, that it would actually change the whole formation. For example, if it weren't for that one act of forgiveness, they would have never had peace. We would not be an Iroquois Confederacy. So there comes a point in our lives where we have to say, I need to wipe away the tears. I need to clean out my ears. I need to drink clean water, because we're holding on to such pain and aggravation that we cannot heal from it. And we pass that on to our children, so, and their children's children. And so there's like, it will ever be over. Can we really consider this as part of, you know, the process of forgiveness and healing?
I want to flip that around and ask you, is there something, because that sounds to me very oriented around if I've experienced this, then how I process it and how I forgive and let go. What about the people that are creating the violence? You know, what does the tradition say to them?
Actually, it came through a song. See, so music is universal. And really, it did. It came through with people coming up to him and singing to him. And I've had experiences in my life where people's minds have changed and turned so much through music. And imagine a day not going by where you don't hear music. So we have songs that are so powerful, they say, that can actually quicken your death. We have songs that we sing to the plants. We have songs to honor the women, you know. And there, I can say a lot more about that. But I've done experiments with plants and music, and they totally respond. So there comes a point as well, as we understand how babies are affected by music is, you know, as part of their intellect. And you can see the effect on them. It's amazing.
Even in the womb, I understand.
Even in the womb. Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly right. So I'm hoping that people might consider not only listening to music, but creating their own music, because there's different chakras that affect different parts of your body, different keys, you know, that affect different chakras, excuse me. You know, the key of B, the key of A, you know, and I offer people my music while they're going through surgery, that kind of thing.
You're listening to The Campbell Conversations on WRVO. I'm Grant Reher, and I'm talking with Joanne Shenandoah, a Grammy Award-winning musician and peace activist from the Wolf Clan of the Oneida Nation. Now, your musical style often blends the traditional with more modern influences and arrangements. So how have you approached that style and that blend?
Well, my music is anywhere from solo to full symphony. Mm. I ask for the songs. I ask my guardians. I ask the creator for songs, and there they are. So I'm 17 albums into the good right now and working on a new one with my daughter coming up with Daniel Waples from England. He plays the hang drum, and it's fabulous, absolutely incredible. Wait till you hear.
And the name of that album is?
Well, we're going to find out.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah.
And in terms of the way that you mix the traditional and the more modern influences, have you gone a particular direction? Someone listening to all your albums, would they say, well, she sounds more modern now, or she's returned to the traditional?
I think there's a variety of things. Mm-hmm. I never like to be thrown into a box as far as music goes, but I totally love being able to be challenged when it comes to different styles. So you know, I grew up singing with my mom and dad. My dad was a jazz guitarist, played with Duke Ellington. My mom played piano and guitar as well. And I've always loved, you know, all the music that they showed me. It was like Hank Williams to, you know, Patsy Cline. I mean, you name it. I love it all. And so I've had the chance to sing, you know, like with Willie Nelson on stage. I've had the chance to, you know, wine and dine with Frank Sinatra and, you know, I mean, I have to write a bio pretty soon, autobiography rather, soon, because there have just been too many terrific experiences for me. And so I'm influenced by music around the world. I've sat and sung with the people from Australia, the Aborigines, and also from people from Africa, and we just share with one another. I've had 24 monks spend the night, including the Dalai Lama's brother, and we just shared music back and forth and back and forth. So it's a real amazing blessing to be able to listen to all styles.
And you've spoken about the matriarchal system of the Iroquois. Tell me a bit about that.
Well, it's amazing that, you know, the Iroquois had it within them to have an equal society of women as well as men. And the women were the ones who chose leaders. My mom was a clan mother. My dad was a chief. I guess I mentioned that. I'm not sure. But anyway, I was always taught from a young girl that everyone had an equal voice. And so I could not understand the differences when I started going out into the world, how women are treated. And I feel so blessed to have come from such an amazing, strong background of strong, incredible women. I mean, my mother, from a young age, she was nothing but supportive, protective, and also taught us that we had a voice. We had a very strong voice.
And you mentioned your father being a chief. My understanding is he was an Onondaga Nation chief, right?
Yes.
And your mother was an Oneida Wolf.
Exactly.
Clan mother. So not all nations in the Iroquois Confederacy follow the same political practices and the same policies today, as I understand it. I mean, there's quite a bit of variance. And I wanted to ask you, from your perspective, have there been any important tensions among these nations of the Iroquois in recent years?
Well, I think there is always tension, irrespective of whatever nations we're discussing, whether it be Republicans or Democrats. I mean, we're all from the same country. And once I had Morley Safer at my house, and we were talking about some of the tensions going on, and I said, well, here we are. We're all walking on sacred land. You know, And whether we like it or not, our ancestors are buried side by side. So that's why we need to learn how to live in harmony and balance and peace with each other, but not only with each other, but with the natural world. And I think that's what sometimes people forget. And so irrespective of how much money or how much talent or how smart we are, they used to say that all grandmothers and our clan mothers love everyone the same, and they want all to get along and work together. So certainly there's always tension. And so that's in part why if we go back to our roots and start thinking more about the fact that our children should live in peace, then we're going to be so much better off for the next generation.
And let me push you a little bit on this issue, though, because, again, your own background with your mother and father kind of straddled one of these big differences is the question of, well, just to give you a specific example, Orrin Lyons was on the program a couple of years ago and talking about the decisions about the casinos for the Oneidas. And pretty clear that, in his view, that kind of went against the fundamental teaching. So have you experienced that difference? Because you've got one nation doing something fundamentally different from another nation in a very profound way.
That's true. And I went in 1995 on a March for Democracy and lost all my benefits from the United Nations. So, you know, you start thinking about, okay, are we doing division here or are we being united? So, you know, I don't have to sleep with that decision because I know that I'm on a mission and I do what I need to do. So understanding that comment from Orrin Lyons, he's always stood strong. A lot of our older leaders believe that, yes, casino gambling is not something that we want to engage in. And, you know, you just have to ask yourself, you know, would I want my children, would I want my grandparents in there spending their money? You know, I mean, I personally have performed at many casinos, you know, and I'm not saying that's a bad thing because a lot of nations out there are doing some amazing and wonderful things with that money. Mm. And they're not all bad people. So I think, you know, if you take a minute and just try to wipe away some of the stereotypes and not think that, oh, they're all wealthy, okay? But where are the good people and who will survive these upcoming torments in the world, such as the change in Earth, you know, the change in our children? So these are my focuses, and I feel very, very proud of what I've been working on and doing.
What are your biggest worries or concerns for the Oneida Nation in the future, for your nation?
My biggest concern would be that our children would learn to get along, that we'd be a community, that 7 generations from now there will be something really amazing that they will do, that we'll still have our language, we'll still have our music. And for me, of course, music is a big one. And also that people will heal from their wounds. And so that's it for me.
If you've just joined us, you're listening to the Campbell Conversations on WRVO Public Media. And my guest is Oneida Nation Wolf Clan singer and songwriter Joanne Shenandoah. Let's go back to the music. You've performed at the White House, Carnegie Hall. You mentioned before the Dalai Lama. You performed for the Dalai Lama, among other impressive venues. It's an amazing list. Which performance in your career has given you the most stage fright, and which performance was the most memorable so far?
Well, I don't get stage fright, number one.
Lucky you.
Yeah, I don't. I feel very blessed to have been given a voice and been given music. I would have to say that it's always a treasure to be able to sing for children and for elders and for people who I see there on their faces, they are really enjoying the music. There isn't one particular, I mean, from Woodstock to the Vatican, you know, and I was told by a shaman, a medicine man, a friend of mine, he said, never refuse to sing, because people need to hear your beautiful messages of peace and hope all over the world.
That's a perfect segue to my next question, which is, would you sing? So I'd like to have you share a song, if you would, with us. And I understand that you've brought your daughter with you, and you would like her to join us as well. So Leah Shenandoah, welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome to the studio. Do you want to, Joanne, introduce your daughter a little bit and then introduce the song that you're going to sing?
Yes, I would. This is Leah Shenandoah. Her native name is Gahawita, which means she brings it along. She's a cum laude graduate of Syracuse University and also MFA candidate at RIT with her master's in textile designs and metalsmithing and jewelry as well. So she also has a great website and also has her first recording out called Spectra.
Great.
Which won two awards. One is the Sammy Awards here locally in Central New York, and the other is a national award for Best Debut Album for the Native American Music Awards. And she's an amazing talent, and I'm very proud of her.
We're gonna try to put a couple of those songs from that album on the online version of this interview, so folks can go and check that out.
Fantastic.
Okay, so tell us a little bit about this song, and then let's hear it.
Okay, this is a song that I wrote. It's called May There Be Peace, and the words translate to, "May there be peace to all people around the world. Let our minds be one." Skana, aizi wanandon yo hage. Skana, aizi wanandon yo hage. Ahut, chigwego. Ahut, chigwego. Gola Skana Aizi Wanandan Yohage Skana Aizi Wanandan Yohage Ahun Chigwego Ahun Chigwego
That was beautiful. That was Joanne Shenandoah and Leah Shenandoah. Joanne and Leah, thanks so much for talking with me and for sharing some of your music. You've been listening to the Campbell Conversations on WRVO, Conversations in the Public Interest.
The Campbell Conversations, Conversations in the Public Interest, was hosted and produced by Grant Reher, engineered by Tom Fazio, edited by Jason Smith, with research assistance provided by Elizabeth Boyd. The Campbell Conversations is a joint production of the Campbell Public Affairs Institute at Syracuse University and WRVO Public Media. To learn more about the program or to hear previous interviews, visit wrvo.org/Campbell Conversations.